I'm Jeremy Hobson at Old Faithful at Yellowstone National Park as the Park Service celebrates 100 years of existence this week. And just as this park looks different than any other place on Earth, it also sounds different. And there's a woman whose job it is to document that sound. Her name is Jennifer Jarrett, and she records the sounds of Yellowstone as part of a partnership between the park and the Acoustic Atlas, a nature and soundscape archive at the Montana State University Library. I met up with her outside on a bench across from an active geyser. She had her laptop filled with the sounds she's recorded and two little speakers, and I asked her why it's so important to record the sounds of Yellowstone.
The short story, I guess, is that these sounds could go away. You know, we're losing species at an unprecedented rate in human history, and I don't need to tell you that there's probably more to come. So from that perspective, it's important to document what's out there and get a record of these players in our soundscapes.
And in order to get the sounds, do you have to get into some dangerous situations? Because some of these animals you probably wouldn't want to hang out with one-on-one.
I am very cognizant of not getting myself into dangerous situations. That's a really big component of my planning phase of gathering recordings. And I have a couple of tricks to keep myself safe. And one of them, you know, oftentimes I'll do some recording just from the safety of my vehicle and put the microphone out, run a cable into the car and sit in the car and record. I also use remote recording devices, especially for situations where it wouldn't make sense for me to be present. And otherwise, I keep my distance. You know, I stay 100 yards away from wolves and bears, 25 yards away from everything else. And the mics I use are pretty powerful, so they have a long reach, and I'm able to get great recordings in spite of the distance.
Well, let's hear some of the sounds that you have collected while you've been here, starting with what?
You know, I was actually going to start with a simple recording of a meadowlark. And the thing that I like about this recording is that the meadowlark, the western meadowlark, really spends a lot of its time in the sagebrush steppe. And in Yellowstone National Park, we have a lot of sagebrush communities. And it's kind of easy, an easy little ecosystem to overlook, but in the whole world, we have this in North America only. So it's a special system, and over 350 species rely on the sagebrush steppe.
So tell us what we're hearing there.
So what you heard is runoff from the Mammoth Hot Springs thermal system has a runoff channel that runs down the hill and kind of behind the residence area. And so this was just me getting up early one spring morning and heading down with my gear, setting it up right at that runoff channel. And there was a meadowlark who flew in and just perched very close to me in the microphone and just sang his heart out.
Okay, what is next on your list?
So this is, every fall, we have the elk rut, the mating season for elk. And in Mammoth, there's kind of a resident elk herd. And what happens is that there'll be a couple main bulls who are competing for dominance, for the privilege of breeding with the cows that are up there. And then oftentimes there'll be some satellite bulls around in the area hoping to also kind of step up and compete. And this was late at night, and literally right across the street from the house, these two bull elk got into it and just started fighting. Clacking antlers, the whole deal. It was crazy.
And how close was your microphone?
I was about, I'd say I was 30 yards away from these guys. So pretty close. But this is the scene in Upper Mammoth, like every night, all night long. And I call it elksomnia because you don't get any sleep because the elk are just going crazy all night long.
Now, how does this fight end?
You know, it seems like one animal kind of gets tired and just defers to the other one. It's wild. It's not like it ends in death or something really dramatic. It's just they'll fight for a while, and then it's like there's some kind of unspoken agreement between these two guys, and it's like, okay, man, you win.
Okay, we've had our beautiful songbird and now our fight. What's next?
Okay, next up, let's listen to sort of a quintessential sound of Yellowstone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so those wolves, those were the Lamar Canyon pack. I recorded that this past January from the road. So when we were talking about recording from the safety of the car, that was one of those instances. And not that wolves are dangerous, but it's more I just don't want to impact the behavior of the animals. I'm trying not to have them be hyper aware of my presence. But it was very cool. They were pretty close and kind of circling the parking area and then moving off into the sage. And what was really interesting about that recording is right in the beginning, did you hear it sounded like a dog whining? Okay, so that was something that even the researchers hadn't really heard before. Oftentimes when you're out watching wolves or if I'm trying to record wolves, they're very, very far away. So you don't have the opportunity to get that kind of detail. So that was a very cool thing.
Now, it's not just animals that you record, but also some of the geology here, some of the geysers and things like that.
Exactly. Absolutely. I spend a fair bit of my time recording the thermal features in the park. And it's important to kind of point out about this is that as water moving through the landscape changes, whether that's seasonally or as a result of longer-term impacts from things like climate change, you know, so too will the sounds of these thermal features change. So again, an important thing to document. One of my favorite things to record are the mud pots. And so this next recording is fountain paint pots.
And we should say there's not like a hippopotamus in there or something like that.
No, that is just all of the thermal activity, the release of heat and gases through that mud that microbes and other chemical reactions have kind of broken down rock to create this mud. And then that's just all that activity bubbling up through the mud.
And do you have to be careful about exactly when you record that to get it to sound like that? Or is it kind of like that all the time?
Well, I mean, it'll kind of do glurpity-glurpity all year round, but definitely in the springtime when more water is moving through the system, it sounds like that. That was recorded in, I think, early May. And then later in the year, it's not as much, but you can still get some nice recordings.
So much activity going on in there.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? I could totally just sit and listen to mud pots for like 20 minutes. Every time I go record there, it's just, you know, it's easily an hour just monitoring through my headphones because it's like a little meditation just to kind of get into it.
Now, Jennifer, we could not possibly talk to you about the sounds of the park without asking if you've got any sounds of grizzly bears.
I do have sounds of grizzly bears. I have like the recording of grizzly bears. Okay, so early in the program, we talked about, again, the use of remote recorders. This is absolutely a recording that was made with a remote recorder. There was a road-killed bison that park scientists had moved off the road so it didn't pose a safety hazard. And then I went with the bear biologist and we set up a remote field recorder in the hopes of getting the sounds of grizzly bears. And this is what we got.
Now, we're sitting outside right now. I hope that that doesn't call them over here or anything like that right now, does it?
I don't think so. So, I mean, isn't that crazy?
How did you get that?
I set up a remote recorder. I just had it set to record continuously.
But how close is it to the carcass?
From me to you. I mean, those bears, I have hours of this. I have sections of recording where you can hear the fur of the bear, you know, rubbing up against the recorder. It's amazing. But so what's even better is that we actually know a little bit about these bears because we also set up a remote camera. And I don't know if these bears were collared or how they were identified, but the grizzly scientists told me that it's a male and a female. They were both about 7 years old. It was recorded in late June, which, you know, does coincide with bear mating season. I don't know if these bears were pairing up or if they just happened to be in the same location feeding on the same carcass, but it was those two bears interacting with each other.
Wow.
So cool.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing these sounds with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
That's Jennifer Jarrett, an audio archivist for Yellowstone. We're here in front of Old Faithful. Could go any minute.